Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I'm your host, Dan. With me is my co-host, Austin.
Yep.
And our special guest, Miss Angel.
Hello.
Any of you can join us as well. All you got to do is pick up the phone, turn it to the actual phone mode instead of the internet or Facebook or whatever social media you're using. Go to keypad and dial in 718-664-9735. Hit the green button, and that'll bring you into the studio with us.
Why? Why?
You can also catch us live on our Facebook feed. Just go to your Facebook, welcome to the search bar, type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. It'll be the first one that pops up. Give that page a like, share, and follow while you're there. And then go down and click on the live stream, and you can join us. You can talk to us on the live stream. We will either talk back to you on the live stream, or we'll answer your questions or comments or whatever on the air. Also, head on over to Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like, share, and follow, well, because they're the ones that let us use the studio. They're also a pretty cool bunch of people. On Wikicuriosity's Facebook page, you can access the website, www.wikicuriosity.website.com/WCMedia. Don't try to type it in. Just go to the page and click the link. On the website, you can find out all kinds of information about Wikicuriosity Media. You can find out about the hosts of the shows that we have. You can find out information on the shows. You can access archives, show archives. You can access our YouTube channel, Wikicuriosity Media. You can also see pictures of us and read blogs that we have posted in the past. Speaking of our YouTube channel, it is Wikicuriosity Media. Head on over there and check it out. We are working on updating it with our live streams from all of our shows.
You can't find my show there right now.
No. But we're working on it. We are working on it. We're working on updating it.
Sorry, soon-to-be fans.
These past few weeks have been extremely busy for me, so I got to get caught up on that. I know. And we got to update the...
Everything.
Website.
The everything.
Yeah. We've got to update everything.
Also, you can go to Wicked Angel on TikTok and see the first couple videos, and that will be updating and happening very soon.
Yes. Yeah.
So look for us there, because hopefully we can gain some new fans and followers and, you know, have a little more fun.
Yeah. So, it's we've had a rough, busy, extremely time-consuming year and a half.
Even through quarantine.
Especially through quarantine. And things on Wikicuriosity Media kind of backed off a little bit. But now that quarantine is ending, now that my schedule is going to be starting to free up a little bit.
Well, it's ending for some of us. Sorry, China.
Things will get better. Things will be updated. Look for that probably around mid to the end of June is when things will be hitting really, really hard beginning of July.
Lots of changes coming.
Yeah.
Watch for those.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of cool things happening, a lot of cool things going on. So
some big jobs for co-host Austin. So, yeah, a lot of big things happening. Yeah.
Co-host, producer, media manager, IT support.
You know what strikes me is, like, if I listen to the radio, and they have a producer, like, he's literally just some dude that sits and talks shit over in the corner. That's what producer actually do.
Awesome.
Right, but what does that mean? Why does a producer on a radio show, which, I mean, we are, it's internet radio, whatever.
Yeah.
But why is that what they do? Why are so many shit talkers in the corner?
So my favorite radio show that I listen to every morning, their producer is in there, and he talks shit, but they talk shit to him.
Oh, yeah. Like, my radio show that I listen to in the morning, Katie and I actually listen to it every morning when we're on our way to therapy because she gets the kick out of them, too. And they're local, and they have a TikTok. So we got to put faces to the voices, which was super weird because the faces are not what I pictured.
No.
And so my favorite producer, who is never mind. Anyway.
Oh, sorry, we're not saying names.
Well, I could have, but I can't remember I can't remember right now. Anyway, so he wasn't there. Romeyer.
Yeah.
He wasn't there. And they have a new producer. His name is Alex. He's new. He's kind of getting into the groove of things. And I was like, what the heck? Like, where is he? So I actually, like, scoped out their entire TikTok because they were trying to be a little more active on it and trying to figure out, like, when did this guy come in and when did he leave?
Yeah.
Turns out, he left for a good reason because he's been there forever.
Yeah.
So his parents run the Appalachian Museum here in, and he quit to go help them run it.
Oh, now we're
going
to have to go to the
East Coast. Yeah, like, super cool. So congratulations to him. It's a job change for sure, but I was just happy to know that it was it was a happy reason.
Yeah. So I will say that the producer on the morning show that I watch, which is, it's a syndicated morning show that broadcasts out of Chicago.
Yes.
But it's syndicated on iHeartRadio and different stations.
You can say what the name of it is.
So I listen to Rover's Morning Glory every morning. I even listen to their, their recorded shows.
Yeah.
Because I don't catch them first thing in the morning. I only get about 20, maybe 30 minutes of the shows. Because it's a 3-hour show and I don't have time to listen to it.
Right.
But I will say that the producer on the show, Dom, D-U-M-B.
Yeah, Dom.
Yeah. If for some reason he listens to this at all, nothing against the guy. I love him. I really do. He does a great job on the show. But he literally makes me feel better about myself and my life every day.
Listen, I've listened to Rover's Morning
Glory yeah.
and most of them make me feel better about myself on a daily. Just saying. Although he's kind of in the nicest way possible, like literally no shade, but he is such an asshole and I love him because like when he talks to callers there are moments where I'm just like, damn,
yeah,
I want to slap the hell out of you.
Yeah, he's pretty savage. And
but so is my guy, like he's kind of the same way, super sarcastic because they'll ask a question, somebody will call in with some dumb answer, he's like, okay, well thank you for my brain cells this morning.
and I love listening to them because they all have different personalities and they all tend to clash sometimes, and when they clash it's hilarious because you've got one guy going at it with another guy and then you've got the girl going at it with the producer and Rover's over here in the corner just laughing his ass off like I started this but it's funny.
I definitely have shows that I am loyal to. Occasionally, weirdly enough, it must be a Southern thing or a Tennessee thing, but like it confused me the first time it happened. I don't normally leave the house on Sundays at all. That's just in no reason in particular, except it's the end of the week and it's my day normally, not today, but normally to just sit on my ass and do nothing.
Yeah.
And the first time that I left the house on a Sunday, I listened to, basically it's like today's hits. Like it's just a mix of popular music. And so I turn on the station. I'm super confused because I don't know what is my computer shop? Like, I don't know what's happening. All of a sudden, Christian music is just blazing across the speaker, and nothing against it, like, whatever. But no warning. Where's my music? I didn't know they did that here. Like,
Sunday morning? Yeah.
I'm scrambling to find a CD because I'm like, where the hell is my radio station?
Yeah, there's one radio station in particular. Okay, so there you go. Yeah, the mouse won't wake up the computer.
It usually does if I tap the button.
Okay. But yeah, there's at least one radio station that I know of that Sunday morning from 7 a.m. till noon plays nothing but Christian music. And when I was working at the job before this one, that was the station that we had to have on the radio. And when I would work Sundays, it would drive me absolutely bananas because they would play the same song four times.
Well, my confusion was yesterday I listened to WAP and now I'm listening to Praise Jesus. And I'm not really sure how that plays. But I feel like this is maybe not the station that changed to Christian music on Sundays. But, you know, you do you. It's cool. Whatever, Tennessee. I got you. It's fine. I don't leave the house on Sundays and now I know why. It just threw me off because I was like, whoa, I know what plays on here 90% of the time. And, okay.
That's why I'm glad when, now that I have this current position that the radio station that I play, that nobody else touches because I'll cut their hand off, it's the best hits of the 80s and 90s, some 2000s in there, but it's all music that I grew up listening to.
I would say I probably listen to that. That's my alternative. So I have one that plays like normal today's music. Sometimes, we all know, radio stations sometimes have like stupid long commercial breaks, usually between shows.
Yeah.
And so I'll flip over to the other one, and it's more 80s, 90s, 2000s. But my youngest, most of the time, is like, what is this?
Well, so
why are we listening to this?
The one that I listen to is a little farther down on the dial.
Mine's like 93.7, something like that.
Okay, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. She hates it.
It's like my favorite one.
Sometimes the rock songs will come out and she's like, can you switch it back? Let's see the commercial song. No. And then other times she'll be like, this is the pretty song. I'm like, I know.
This is what I grew up to.
I think Austin was actually in the car with me one day when Wilson, it was Austin, came on.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I'm like jamming out to it. And he said it sounded like some, I don't remember what he said, like some girl band or whatever. And I was like, it's Wilson Phillips. He's like, it sounds like girls. I'm like, I know, that's their last name. There's three of them. He's like, there's only two names. Two of them are sisters. It's Wilson Phillips, man. Can't hate on them. One really chubby girl, two weird skinny girls. Yeah. Oh, they were awesome.
Yeah, I think the chubby one, I think she actually posed for Playboy for one issue.
Yeah, she actually, she lost quite a bit of weight. I didn't care. There was a lot of stories that went around about them. A lot of people really made fun of her, but she had probably the best voice out of the three.
Yeah.
And she did most of the forward part of the songs. And so, I don't know, I just always loved them. I mean, I'm chubby. It's okay. Hot girl summer. Whoop, whoop. Do what you do.
I was going to say something, but it's just...
That's all I got to say. There's a TikTok. Don't you love being married to me? Cheers. Boop.
Your
co-host is awful quiet.
Hot girl chafe stick summer.
Hey, look, shit, you use whatever you gotta use. Baby oil, chafe stick, powder, I don't care. Get up there and use it.
Don't use powder because it'll just make it worse.
Well, don't use powder then.
Yeah.
Still, wear it. Do it. Get out there. Have fun.
Yeah.
It's hot as fuck in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wear what I wear.
Look. We've said this before. We've said this on a couple different shows. Don't worry about your body image.
Not anymore. Yeah. Especially like those of us over like 40, honey. We're never gonna look like we're 20. We might as well just love the skin we're in.
Look, love yourself for who you are, what you are, and what you do, and you know, rock it, girl.
Maybe
hey, guy.
Maybe be a little jealous of our super skinny daughter-in-laws, but you know, it's whatever.
Don't be jealous of nobody. Be you. You know, that goes for guys, too, you know. I mean, shit, just because you got a little bit of pudge on you doesn't mean you're not a badass. I've got one. Or two hiding in there somewhere. All right.
You literally have only made it 16 minutes. What? Who are we?
I was trying to think of anything that... Oh! I want to say a belated happy birthday to my son.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan turned 23 yesterday.
I really can't believe I'm the parent. I don't care what you call it. I'd be a 23-year-old human.
23 years old. 23 years ago yesterday, he was born in the delivery room on Guantanamo Bay Naval Base. In Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Cuba.
Cuba. Yes.
Happy birthday, Ethan.
Yeah. I was actually working in the emergency room down the floor. It's a very small hospital. When his mother went into labor and the doctor that was on call that night actually worked with his mother. We were both, active duty Navy when we met and got married and all that good stuff. But she worked with her on a regular basis in the family practice clinic. And as soon as, cause she was being induced, so she went up there and when the doctor found out, she was like, no. You need to go right now. I'm going to get a hold of your boss. So she called my, would be NCOIC, non-commissioned officer in charge, called him at home and said, hey, you've got a sailor here, because I was in the Navy at the time, that has a wife that's literally going into labor one floor above that was planned to be induced. No, was she? No, she wasn't planned to be induced. I don't remember. Either way. And she was like, you either need to get here or you need to get somebody here because he's not working the rest of his shift. And she sent me upstairs. She was like, we will be fine. And I think he came in and finished my shift. And my son was born. Ethan was born.
That's awesome.
So.
Also, this Thursday, our very own Anne, who is the co-host of Falling from Grace, is having her graduation ceremony from high school.
Yes.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah. Kids are growing old.
I know.
We're growing old.
Shut up. I'm going to be old.
Look, I feel it every morning I get up. Every morning I get up, I can feel it. So. I'm trying to think of anything else.
There's not really much else going on. We are out of school. Summer has started. I have this strong, aching urge to just jump in my car and go on a road trip, and it's horrible right now. Like, that whole wanderlust thing is happening so horribly right now.
Yeah, it's been a long year and a half of kind of being quarantined and locked up. And now that things are starting to open up, mask mandates are starting to go away and stuff like that. There's some semblance of normalcy that's starting to set in. And, you know, people are starting to come out of their houses and you know, play in the streets and stuff like that. And, you know, when that happens, we get the assholes that come out. So don't be an asshole.
Right.
So, Austin, do you have anything interesting that happened this week or?
He really doesn't.
No.
We didn't really do anything this week.
It was kind of an eventful week. We weren't able to broadcast Cinephiles last Wednesday, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because our whole ass internet went down.
Well, so, weirdly, I don't know if it's only our internet, which I won't say which one it is right now, let's say irritate me more, but we were dealing with corrupted broadband, and that is what they have been trying to solve. So, you know, hopefully the show doesn't go down. If it does, I apologize. I will get it back up as quickly as possible. But that is what we are dealing with right now. It's not just typical internet issues. We are literally dealing with corrupted broadband.
Yeah.
And they are trying to get it worked out.
And then Fridays, note by note, they were going fine. They were going strong. 20 minutes into the show, lost power. In the whole studio. Like, the entire studio,
yeah,
the entire block.
So black in here.
Went completely, completely dark. Like, and then this wasn't the only town. Two of my other coworkers, they lost power at their houses too.
Yeah, it was dark for a while. And it was like a 2-minute storm, but it hit so hard. Like, we haven't lost power here in a long time. They put in some backup and emergency power last year, I think. And so when storms come through, typically we'll have a little brownout, and then emergency power kicks in and our lights stay on. This did not happen. It was literally a 2-minute storm, and it blew through so hard. And I believe Austin said, because I didn't see it, did you say there was a flash of lightning right before it went out?
I did not see that.
I thought you did. I thought you said you saw a flash and then the transformer blew.
No, it just happened.
Okay, well, I'm assuming it hit a transformer. I don't really know. But there was no warning. There was no brownout. There was no, like, normal, like, where the lights kind of start to go out before
yeah.
we lose it.
And then it wasn't.
And then it was gone. And I was yelling and cussing downstairs. I mean, they were trying to broadcast their show. And we've had problems for, like, 2 weeks on his show in particular. So I felt horrible. And I was literally just getting ready to get stuff ready for dinner. And then I was like, well, I feed everybody.
Good thing is, though, a couple weeks ago, we bought a new toy for the backyard.
Yes.
We bought a flat-top griddle. So, that saved dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to throw the burgers on there, which we were going to do anyway.
Yeah, Fridays are our typical, like, socializing days, and so we have people here, and
yeah.
we had to feed people, and it was either spend stupid money on pizza that I didn't want to spend because I'd just gone shopping for all these burgers, or, you know, suck it up and get out there and cook burgers, even though it was sprinkling a little bit.
So, which, you know, it was fine. It started raining right at the end, right when we finished up cooking the burgers.
Yeah.
So... Well, that worked out pretty well.
It did, and they turned out good.
Yeah. I kind of like that thing. We've done breakfast on it. We've done side dishes on it. We've done onions and peppers on it. We've done dinner on it a couple times. So, it's actually paid for itself already. We've only had it a couple weeks. So.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to take a short little break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this week's movie, It is a Netflix original, written and directed by Zack Snyder, starring Dave Bautista. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one to talk about, I think. So, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we'll be talking about Army of the Dead.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you are just joining us, you can call it 718-664-9735, and that will bring you directly into the studio with us, or you can hit us up on our Facebook live stream right now. You know, ask us questions, comments, stuff like that on the live stream.
Real quick, on a serious note, I wanted to send our heartfelt condolences out to the Smith family. And we are a local station. We've been featured locally. We advertise locally here in Powell, Tennessee. And we lost a young man this week on the 28th due to a long fight with brain cancer. He's been incredibly important in this community. He went to elementary school with my kids, was in the middle school, and we have all, through local pages, been right by his side through his journey. Gunnar Craig Smith, who was 14, passed away on Friday, May 28th, surrounded by his family in their home. He was born on April 25th, 2007, in San Angelo, Texas, to Brandon and Brittany. Gunnar was the epitome of the all-American boy next door. He loved basketball, board games, PlayStation, and cornhole. He loved his family fiercely and enjoyed family Bible studies. Gunnar's all-heart story, which is pretty popular here in our town, our school kids, our businesses, all sport the all-heart Gunnar symbol and shirts, has impacted many people, and it will continue to do so. Gunnar is survived by his parents. Brandon and Brittany, we send you our love and support. His sisters, London and Gracelyn, his great-grandparents, Roger and Joyce Helm, Daryl and Clara Smith, Linda Hopkins, his grandparents, Brian and Holly Donahue, Craig and Jane Smith, his many aunts and uncles, Cole and Yolanda Smith, Kate Smith, Tyler and Jamie Donahue, Colin and Haley Donahue, Shane and Emily Smith, Mackenzie and Eric Fox, his cousins, Kiki, Ray, Courtney, Ethan, Kane, Elena, McKenna, Garrig, and Savannah, and his beloved Labradoodle. So for those of you who knew Gunnar and love Gunnar as much as everybody else in this community, his funeral services will take place at the Powell Church on Emory Road on Wednesday, June 2nd at 1 p.m. Following the funeral, a private graveside service will be held at the Bells Campground Cemetery. We just want you all to know that we all have been impacted by Gunnar. My kids have been impacted by Gunnar. And our thoughts are 100% with all of you. Can't even imagine what you're going through.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry.
No. You're fine. So this week we watched the Netflix movie Army of the Dead. And I will say it took a little bit of convincing to get Asta to...
On board?
Yeah, on board to watch this movie.
I can't imagine why. Because you tried to get him on board last week.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah.
He's like, we're watching Tenet. Okay, cool. So I really wanted to do this movie because I wanted to see Batista in something other than Guardians of the Galaxy. And I know he's been in a couple of things. But I really wanted to see how he would play in a mercenary role that, kind of shows off his strength and his athleticism and stuff like that and his acting ability because playing Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, not saying that it doesn't take a whole lot of acting ability, probably takes a lot more, but I wanted to see his natural acting ability. And plus, Zack Snyder, who, is a wonderful storyteller. So this week we watched Army of the Dead. Basically, the premise of the movie is there's a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas. A group of, mercenaries help get people out of the city. The government walls it up, puts a quarantine zone out in front of it so that, people coming out, they can see if they've been bitten or infected or anything like that. And then, go on from there. So...
Austin, what did you think? First off, do you like him better as Groot? No, it's not Groot.
Drax.
As Drax or as this guy?
Drax.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think of his character in this movie? Like, just his character, not the movie.
Basic. Pretty basic. Father, daughter. character tropes. I mean, yeah, besides him being Dave Bautista, it's not really anything special.
Now, Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League was pretty phenomenal. It was long, but it was pretty good. I actually liked it better than the original Justice League.
Obviously.
So I didn't know that he did this film. Literally, the saving grace for this film for me in convincing me to watch it was Bautista. He's one of my favorites. But would you say that this upheld the standard of Zack Snyder?
I don't really have a standard with Zack Snyder because I don't really like many of his movies. But, I don't know, there was things in this movie that were refreshing and new. And then there was things in this movie that were very, very overused, cliche, and some of it horrible.
So when I look at it, because it's tagged as a grindhouse movie, which, for me, grindhouse movies are definitely B-movies. Would you put this in that category? In like a B-movie?
I would say it's not AAA. It's probably just an A.
Really?
Yeah, there's definitely really good VFX, but...
What is VFX? Virtual
effects.
Okay.
And there's a pretty good story. It's an easy story to work off of, but it's good.
It's okay.
So I want to say it's a B movie. It definitely, even the practical effects are pretty good.
There was a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to say, because it wasn't really even an independent movie. It was paid for, endorsed.
They had like 90, it's the highest budgeted film for Netflix to date.
That makes sense then.
Yeah.
Because it starts off looking very independent. And very indie, and very small budget, but it very quickly shows that it had quite a big.
They had a $90 million budget.
Yeah. It very quickly shows that off. Very quickly flaunts that.
I liked the tiger.
So,
I did like the tiger.
I don't want to start shitting on it too early.
But
there's reasons I didn't like the tiger.
You didn't like the tiger?
So, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there because I know Austin's probably thinking the same thing.
Okay.
I like Zack Snyder. I really do.
Right.
I don't. So I feel like I was coming from this from the opposite angle.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
300, fantastic movie. Dawn of the Dead remake, I loved it.
I had a really hard time with 300. It was just too, I don't know. It was too much. I don't know. I did not enjoy
Watchmen
300.
Was very interesting to me. Man of Steel, just long and boring. So
you hit all of those half and halves, because I think Watchmen's good, and I think 300 is okay. I think Superman is on the opposite end of okay. And I think the Shaun of the Dead remake is terrible. So.
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, he did not do Shaun of the Dead.
No.
Yeah. I never watched Shaun of the Dead either.
I liked it better than Dawn of the Dead.
So, I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there. The storyline and the premise of this movie was absolutely 100% pointless.
I don't know. I think the story is one of the only things that caught my eye.
Go ahead, Austin. Sorry.
Well, so I always watch things. I always watch post-movie things. And there are a lot of things that you miss the first time you watch it. I didn't really want to watch it a second time, but luckily other people did for me. And story holds up pretty okay. It's not a new concept, but it's also not just the standard zombie.
Right. Well, I think that it came, like, the fact that it came out right now, you could also see some underlying government.
A lot of political connotations.
Yes. You know, if we were to switch the zombies to coronavirus zombies, you see a lot of underlying political agenda.
That's one of the things that
which I liked.
Hinted. It
right.
was more hinted towards like aliens.
It was.
A really amazing first shot of these two lights that blast.
Yes, when Zeus is right there at the beginning. Zeus would be the first zombie.
Right.
When he jumped out of things, and I didn't catch it.
No, it's before that. It's whenever they're leaving Area 51. There's these two lights that are above Area 51 that just zip away.
Well, so it says...
Two frames, too.
So it says, right before the opening credits, as Zeus is looking out at Las Vegas, two UFOs can be seen in the sky, which I didn't catch.
I don't think so. I think it was... I think that's false. Because I've watched it.
I don't know. I didn't... either way, neither time did I catch the UFOs.
No.
And we also... Still good timing, because what is... Is there 30 or 31 days this month?
There's 31 days.
Okay, so in 2 days, we'll be completely debriefed on all of the UFO stuff. I think it was good timing for Rona and the UFOs issue.
Yeah,
I still think that. No.
I mean, we'll probably get shit for it, but I'm saying, like, the timing for it and the climate for it was kind of perfect, because there was a moment in the movie where you only catch part of the sign. Where they're crossing over into the zombie barricade.
Yeah.
Where it says
it's in the quarantine zone, where it says the U.S. Constitution does not.
This is not a U.S. constitutional zone.
Right. Basically, you're stepping out of the U.S.
Yeah.
That was my favorite line.
Your rights mean shit.
Yeah.
My favorite line was whenever he was like, "This is a free country." Actually, this is in America. That just makes it freer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that. We can't miss the obvious, like, in-your-face political connotation.
Well, there was a lot of it.
Was the wall.
Well,
that was around.
There was so much of it, though. There was the wall.
Yeah.
There was the UFOs. There was
the virus.
The virus.
That was accidentally let out.
And you can feel the yellow fever that goes on throughout it, to where there's part of the country who doesn't even think these people are undead. They just think they're
people
locked up. And then the other half are arguing on the difference of should we nuke it or should we not.
Absolutely. And it really just brings us back to the current climate, because there are definitely people out there and we see it all the time. People out there that are like, there's no virus, it's fucking stupid. And then there are people out there that are like, they've seen people die or they've had people die. So to them, the virus is obviously more real and impactful.
Yeah.
And it's the same issue, better explained.
The best part about it was the two people that were arguing politically on the TV were two political activists.
Yes. And there was also because there's not a whole there's good ones, but there's not a whole lot of fun facts. There are good ones though. In 2 seconds.
But there's so much evidence in this movie of it not being zombies.
There we go.
First of all,
I got it.
Biggest thing.
Part of
our buddy Zeus grows his hair.
Yeah.
Well,
very quickly.
Not only that, but remember when you and I were like, that looks weird?
Yeah, there were two.
It's unexplained.
Yeah, there were two robots.
So it's unexplained. There's actually robots. They never explain why.
Yeah, Zack Snyder does stuff.
No, he doesn't. He did not explain it. It says right here that it was completely unexplained, but there are two.
He explained it in an interview. Cryptically. But he explained that likely they're zombies. Or they're robots. Because I was leaning more towards them just being more aliens than the other ones. Apparently, he was like, so these are sort of robots.
Yeah.
Are they from the government? Are they from...
Right.
Why are they
like,
doing
we don't
this?
Know why
yeah.
it is happening.
Yeah. Well, it's not your typical zombie movie. It kind of lends to the premise of Land of the Dead, which it's a George Romero film.
Right.
Where in Land of the Dead, it's a follow-up to... Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and all that. And it's continuing the zombie infestation, the zombie apocalypse.
Real quick, because I don't want to get away from it. You said there were two activists that were arguing on TV. We also see Sean Spicer who was the former White House press secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of the White House representatives. So that's funny.
It's weird to get, like, real people.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Because it does lead to either the UFO concept, are they interfering?
Yeah.
Or the government concept, are they interfering?
Right.
Because we obviously know that the Chinese, Japanese, what was he?
What?
The Asian man.
Japanese.
Was
yeah.
obviously working Japanese. With our government.
Yeah, because remember he said...
We'll be talking with them.
Yeah.
He's like, he's in.
Yeah.
So many unanswered questions in this movie.
So, the zombie premise of this movie kind of goes along with the George Romero evolution of the zombies, where in Land of the Dead, they kind of started evolving and started thinking a little more. And they started organizing. Whereas in this movie, they were more organized. They had an actual caste system within Vegas.
Yeah.
And they were intelligent. So it kind of lends to the question, would you really classify this as a zombie movie, looking at the typical types of zombies that we've had in the past?
Well, I think that's the whole point of why it's not really categorized as a zombie movie. I feel like that was very on purpose.
Who's running the comment section tonight?
I am.
Okay, I didn't know who was answering.
That was me.
I never saw anybody type anything, and it was like, there's a conversation happening, and I didn't know.
No, that was me. That was me. I've got it over here on my phone. So, yeah, that was me.
If you look it up, I don't even think, yeah, it's classified as, on IMDb, as action, crime, and horror.
Yeah.
And then she says grindhouse. Like, it's not really categorized.
It's not. It's more Dawn of the Dead meets Ocean's 11, but with, like,
I would say, like, Aliens are the main focus. I want to say it's exactly, basically what I think Zack Snyder has done, which he's done before, just on a lower scale, is he's made a movie that you're meant to think about that he's not meant to answer.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's probably multiple answers, because if you leave something open-ended as a storyteller, not only is the audience going to make different answers, but the storyteller made different answers.
Right.
So whatever answer you give, the storyteller probably already thought about, and so it's still going to be the correct answer anyway.
Right.
And so, was it aliens? Was it just government experimentation, zero aliens, and the UFOs were a joke?
Yeah.
You don't know. Because he also had the thing of where the person was singing at the beginning, not knowing there was zombies behind him.
Yeah.
But that was obviously a joke to put at the beginning. But, like, you don't know.
The thing is with this movie, when there's a couple different plot lines within the movie. When you look at the basic plot line with Tanaka hiring Scott Ward to go in and get the money, but then sending his other guy in there,
kind of a douche,
to get the zombie head or the zombie blood, it kind of makes absolutely no sense. Because why didn't that guy just go to
Lily Coyote?
Yeah, the Coyote, and just go in there and do what he had to do. Why? What was the premise of the mercenary?
I think she works on a lower scale, and plus she didn't have a good success rate, and so I don't think.
Yeah, she lost multiple people up in that bitch.
I don't think that was a good. I don't think she was, like, the target. Whereas he very publicly got a lot of people in and out of the place.
Well,
yeah,
he didn't get him out.
Well, he did get them out, and he was a hero.
Oh, Scott, you're talking about Scott. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
He did a bunch of extraction jobs.
Okay, yeah.
And had a good success rate.
Yeah.
So.
And then left it to go do what he was doing. Like, he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
None of them did. His whole team. They didn't want to be there. They wanted to be left alone, really.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So there's, we'll bring up the first problem I had with this movie. This is a very big problem that I have with movies like this.
Sure.
Grindhouse movies. I like rooting for underdogs.
Yes.
And I also like rooting for hero safety.
Yes.
Neither of those things happened.
Nope.
No.
You had the girl, first of all, you had the girl who got...
The daughter?
By, no. The,
or Lily.
The No. The girl.
The one that had the...
The one that had the gas can and the knife at, whenever they were...
Oh, yeah.
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 So that dude's friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the white guy, McGee or whatever, he...
Peter? Or the
no.
rapper? The YouTube star?
No. White guy McGee. White guy McGee.
The guy, Tanaka's guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
He completely fucks her over.
Yeah.
And there's 20 minutes of her just fighting through it like a fucking trooper.
Right, and then she dies.
And then she dies.
That really irritated me.
She dies
me.
Way cooler than everybody else.
She does, but
yeah.
I wanted, I really...
No, no. She does not die way cooler than everybody else.
She dies
White cool. Guy McGee died a lot cooler than anybody in that.
We'll bring up that problem out.
But here's my thing. I actually, because she was kind of the underdog and she was kind of the unknown, I really wanted her to make it through because she wasn't like this typical main character, main story person, but she busted her ass to get through this horde and she raised her hand. She had never killed a zombie and yet she was doing awesome and then she died. I was like,
yeah, she kill count for her was probably the highest.
Yeah, there was a total count of like 133 kills.
Yeah.
And she probably got like 50 of them.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's way more than
This was 130 something. For the total, yeah.
For the total for the group, that makes sense.
Because the three of them had LMGs that they were just fucking...
I know, there was a lot, but... They were small clusters of zombies.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it was like 10 at a
time.
They
literally mowed down like 6 or 7. After the first initial sequence,
yeah,
you could see that number does make sense. Because, I mean, she's going through and she's stabbing them in the head. And
yeah,
you know.
Between the high-intensity Shambler hallway and then the casino scene, I feel like it must be much higher.
No, because they only mowed down like 5 or 6 at a time.
Yeah, that was the problem. It was small clusters of them. It looked like a lot, but it was small clusters.
Yeah. I will say that the fight scenes between the mercenary group and the zombies, or the shamblers, we'll call them shamblers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really, I don't
I
know that we can really...
That's why they specifically specify it, too.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know that we can
like,
really classify them as zombies, though.
Zombies even exist in their world, but they don't call them on purpose.
Yeah.
So I don't think the general populace knows things about them. I just think that people are like, they're a bit different.
Yeah. Coyote does, though.
Yeah.
She knows the alphas and the shamblers.
Yeah.
So.
Which, I was kind of disappointed
okay.
that the alphas had like 3 fight scenes each. Or, they didn't. But the big alpha had like 4 fight scenes.
Yeah.
Had, like 4 different times.
Yeah.
I really wish that those 2... alphas that he turned at the beginning, because any person that he bites supposedly turns into
an
alpha or a beta or whatever.
Yeah.
And those 2 at the beginning just weren't in this.
No. But you got to wonder what was the significance of the dog tags on him? Because that leads to believe that it could have been
one of them.
Yeah, it was military experimentation.
Right.
It's one of those another pieces that you just have to figure your eyes about. Was it that, or did an alien come down and shoot him with something and they had to quarantine him? Like, was it our government's fault, or
was it
the alien's fault?
Outside of it?
Yeah,
yeah, it was a weird... I'll tell you, one of my biggest problems with this movie, because I like when we close the story. I do. I like certain movies. Obviously, we have, like, Jason and Freddy and stuff. Like... So the end storyline where the dude gets sick on the airplane would have been a fine ending.
Yeah.
I didn't like that there were a lot of packages that were not wrapped up and put away.
I was fine with that because they weren't loose threads.
They were absolutely loose threads. That girl, so the daughter went in specifically to rescue her friend, to take her back to her kids, to get her kids and her out of the quarantine zone and away from all these people. And then at the end, when the helicopter crashes, we see her check on the pilot. She's gone. She gets to dad and all of that happens.
That
she doesn't have to for a friend. The whole reason she went in.
But that's the whole reason she went in. Her story wasn't really...
It was a huge part of it. And they left that whole part of the story open and just left it to implication. And I really hated that.
The girl being in the quarantine zone just was the reason why she could accompany them.
This is true, but it was
still
It was unopened.
She was on the helicopter with them when they left.
Yeah.
When the helicopter crashed, we never saw her again. After the big fight between Scott and the Alpha in the helicopter, we never saw her again.
Surprise.
It was just stupid that they didn't at least show her dead body.
She's dead.
Obviously. But she never even, it was never a thought in her head. She was the whole reason that she went, and it was never a thought. We could have gone helicopter pilot, friend said, oh, God, that's horrible, dad.
Apparently,
it was never a part of the movie that I cared about.
This movie scared one of our listeners.
Let me get over here so I can see the conversation.
They had to cover their eyes.
Oh, really? Listen,
What part?
Here's my thing. So there was definitely some mixed reviews.
Well, he said, didn't know I did that, but it's actually kind of funny that he just put that out while we were talking about those scenes.
I can't see it. Yes. I can see him saying, I don't see that.
Didn't know I did that. Oh, my God. He didn't realize he covered his eyes.
No. He covered his eyes during the movie.
So, and that was the thing, too. So we know Anne, that she wasn't really a fan of the movie. She kind of fell asleep during it. Guy in Glasses and his girlfriend tried to watch it before we ever even announced that it was going to be movie of the week, and they had a hard time with it and didn't finish it. I think it's literally like a 50-50 split.
I enjoyed it. It's constantly moving, but it's also really slow-paced.
It is. There are parts in it, so...
Which is, again, another part of the Grindhouse that I hate.
There's
an hour and a half of nothing happening and then 30 minutes of killing off.
Of everything.
Yeah.
So the thing is with the movie is you're expecting it to go one way. And then all of a sudden, here's this twist over here that literally makes no sense to the actual real premise of the plot. But it becomes a subplot, but it takes over the original plot. And that's what irritates me, is that, this movie, you mentioned it earlier. This movie has so many stereotypical tropes of a, number one, of a zombie movie, number two, of an action movie, and stuff like that. You've got the dad trying to reconnect with the daughter. You've got the
old friends calling in a favor.
Yeah, you got the old friends calling in a favor.
Literally every single, the most recent ones I can think of is every single Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah. Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13.
Yeah.
Same thing. You've got the guy that's the right-hand man of the sponsor of the expedition who goes in, who has an ulterior motive. And then you've got you've got that one character that is not part of the group but is related to somebody in the group in one form or fashion that says, well, I'm going in there regardless. Either I'm going with you or I'm going to do the same thing, but without you, it's safer if I go with you. And they do the stupid thing of going off by themselves.
Yeah.
There were so many stereotypical plot lines and subplots within this movie that, to me, brought the quality of the movie down for me. It was, well, I know she's going to go do this by herself, and she went and did it by herself. It would have been better if Kate would have convinced her father to, hey, you know, let's go, we need to go rescue this person. We need to go and see if they're there. Instead of Kate going off by herself in the middle of a zombie fucking wasteland where all these people can literally kill you with a bite, and you've got nothing but a pistol with maybe 16 rounds in it. And you're going to go into the headquarters of the main bad guys, which is such, again, so stereotypical.
Yeah.
And then you have to have somebody come rescue you. And that's what, that's kind of what brought the quality of this movie down for me, is all these stereotypical, you know, just subplots and plot lines and tropes within, you know, it's every zombie action rescue robber movie ever all rolled into one.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I like Zack Snyder. I like his work. I don't like all of it, but I like his work. But it's you know, it's easy to say this is a typical Zack Snyder movie. You know, it's a whole lot of action and fluff and stuff like that. Not a real good storyline. It's like Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman had a lot of action, a lot of fluff, but there was no real good storyline to that movie. Batman vs. Superman is another one. Actually, it's quite the opposite. There was way too much storyline, not enough action in it. And he tends to flip-flop either way, except for 300 for me. 300 was his perfect movie. Because for me it is. Simply because I love the movie and I love the story behind it. And I love the fact that it was based off of a Frank Miller graphic novel. Same thing with Sin City. And Frank Miller is a brilliant graphic novelist.
I think I would honestly enjoy a more, like, not fictionalized fiction of it.
I can agree with that, simply because it's, you know, it's historical. But 300 wasn't historically accurate. It was based on legends of the, you know, 300 Spartans.
Yeah.
So... but this is almost a typical Zack Snyder film. Great special effects. Wonderful camera angles. In this one, he did the slow motion. Like, there were a couple slow motion shots in this. Very well, especially right at the beginning. Because you actually felt like... The one part that got me was right at the beginning with the mother and the daughter, where they were trying to save the mother and the daughter, and the mother got caught by the zombies, or by the shamblers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the daughter, you know, was like, no, I want to be with you, and then all of a sudden the crank...
Yeah, that was hard, that watching the kid get sucked in... I didn't like that so much.
No.
Like, there was so much about it that it was just like, well, there was no blood, and also there was...
I think that would have been, I think for them, that would have been top scene in the line, though. There was blood was there not blood when the thing came down on him?
No, because we only saw the...
Okay,
we didn't focus on the ground.
I think it was already super graphic enough that they had pulled a kid into the scene.
Yeah.
But I think they erred on the side of caution.
Yeah.
And did not rip a child apart on screen.
Or have him crushed.
Yeah.
I think that scene... Huh?
Pussies.
Come on, Zach. Take that next step.
I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, especially if it's off screen, why not just throw a bit of blood in there? Horror movies always look better with blood.
Well, the
one time
is,
you don't put blood is whenever there's, like, six people that are just filled with it.
The thing is for me, is that girl was roughly the same age as my youngest daughter, you know, your youngest sister. And it's just that, it's that you can see that parent moment.
Yeah,
you know, you can see that, you can see that, that fear of, you know, that, that desperation of getting away. And then the mother knows that she's caught. And, you know, trying to save her child, which is what every parent would do, you know, and then...
Yeah, but it's the same thing with, like, the I Am Legend dog. Like, we all felt it because we've all had a dog die. But at the same time, it's a general feeling. It's not like, it shouldn't be specific.
No, but you can relate. That's the thing right there, is that you can relate.
Yeah, but I don't think it's enough to where it should be that boundaried. Like, if you're going to put a child in...
Well, I'm not saying not to do it. I'm not saying that you know,
yeah,
that thing should not have happened.
Like, if you're going to put children in, because it's realistic,
right,
it's obviously going to be a lot of children. But if you're going to put children in it, then... Yeah, don't have them murdered on screen, but
don't have those boundaries.
Don't just take it from R to PG real fast.
Right, right. No, and I agree with you, and I appreciate that scene from both points of view. You know, from a parent point of view, because I'd be pushing my kid out, like, get the fuck out of here.
If you think that. Well, I guess they were dropping because they were on a timer, so that was probably the wall that's going to stay there.
Yeah,
was,
that was
the
part of the
entire
wall.
Time I was thinking, at some point they're going to have to lift it up if it's a door, and they're just going to be flattered bodies. But I guess it's not going to get lifted up.
Kind of like the two walls that came and crushed the Chandler,
yeah,
right before the safe.
That one was bad.
That was awesome. I'm not going to lie. That was kind of awesome.
It was just one of the, that was also one of those things where, like, it makes sense from a movie point of view, but it doesn't make sense for, like, a $200 million vault that you have guns with one bullet and one dart, blow dart guns, and then a wall that doesn't reset.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really safe at all.
No. No, the booby traps were a little unrealistic for...
I mean, they're already unrealistic. Because it would probably just, like, fill, it would vacuum up the oxygen in the room or
pump, like, gas in.
Yeah, like something like
sipping
that.
Sipping gas or, you know, cyanide or, you know.
Yeah, it would be something more widespread.
CS gas or something like that.
Something more effective. Something not from Indiana Jones.
Right. But it was kind of cool, from a movie point of view, it was kind of cool to watch the Chandler walking through. And he hits it, and all of a sudden, all these darts come at him, and he's got darts, and he's walking. And all of a sudden, he hits it again, and all these guns fire at him, and he's still walking. And all of a sudden, he hits it again.
That was awesome, by the way. I knew
balls,
that was
going to
happen.
And then they pull apart a little bit. They, like, bounce off of each other, and you've got all the blood and the guts and everything kind of sticking to it.
I have to admit that Zack Snyder is really good at...
Visual effects.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's really good at nonchalant direct characterization and then very obvious indirect characterization. Where, like, you learn so much about them without them saying anything.
Right.
Or they do say it, and then you learn things about the world.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, it's not attracted to people, it's attracted to heat.
Yeah.
And it's like... They just kind of threw that in there, but it's like that opens up a whole new world of why these things are how they are.
Another part that was in there that was also super confusing and never really had any answers was the flashback in the safe area where you see the team that came before them, where when they walk in, it's not like somebody's been here before as they sent other people in.
Yeah.
But then Omar, was that his name? The actor's name?
Amari.
Amari comes in and he's like, but now he's describing these dead bodies that are wearing the same clothes as them and the fact that it could be like revolving time. And now you've got a whole nother unanswered question. And I'm just like, what? Why do they look like them?
Yeah.
I mean,
why
did
that person have
the
exact
question? Because
necklace.
He answered it exactly how he wanted to. I think you're just seeing it from a wrong angle of like, Zack Snyder definitely wasn't wanting it to be an unanswered question. He gave the answer. You're just not happy with it.
I'm not. I literally wasn't. When the movie ended, I was pissed. Like, I was mad. And granted, we've been on the air for 3 years, and so we've had many of these moments, and we all know that I do not like unanswered questions at the end of a fucking movie. I don't like it. It irritates me. I made it perfectly clear. This one irritated me extra because I was like, there are so many unwrapped boxes right now that don't have answers in them to wrap up and put away.
I don't know. That was like the only thing that I was pretty happy about this movie was the story, the mystery of the story, and then the story itself kept me there. Because action doesn't really keep me in movies.
I don't agree with you because when Guy in Glasses was like, you know, we sat down and tried to watch this, and then we got bored with it, and we stopped it. And so that was before we watched it, and I was like, it's going to be horrible. And I will admit that the little pieces in the story, like, I didn't hate the movie. I thought there was a little bit of comedy in it. It had enough, like, grindhouse gore factor that it shocked me a couple times. While it wasn't the best movie ever made, it kept my attention.
Yeah. I will say that...
And I did like the funny parts.
It's a good premise for a movie, but in keeping with what you're saying, it's a 2.5-hour long movie.
Was it 2.5 hours?
2.5 hours.
I didn't even realize it.
Yeah,
I did. I looked at the timer and I was like, wow.
Yeah. So it's a 2.5-hour movie, and you've got the basic plot line and then the subplots, but then you also have, like you said, you have these little, I wouldn't even say Easter eggs.
No, they're like unchecked boxes.
Yeah, that are in there. That are, like, so you can kind of forgive the where did Zeus come from. You can forgive that.
Well, I think the best part about it is you get like three different answers all at once.
Right.
You have this alien Easter egg.
Yeah.
And you have it coming from Area 51.
Yeah.
And then you also have like the how did it get to Area 51 between that answer and already worldly answer of did it just get
picked
up in the lab or was
We didn't really need to know for 100% fact where Zeus came from.
Yeah.
But we have the question of what the fuck were the robots?
Yeah, he never does answer that.
Right. And it's not like subtle. The two scenes where you see the robots are blatant robots. And then
I like those because they don't impact the story whenever you don't answer them. They're just kind of there to be like, what is that?
We also don't really know why the Alphas happened and the Shamblers happened.
Right. Well, no, we got the explanation. Because if... Whoever Zeus bites is an Alpha.
Okay.
Whoever they bite is a Shambler. So
okay,
it's
but,
like...
So when,
I mean, it's like...
was
so
that
got,
Zeus with the long hair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the cape?
Oh, well, he looks smart. Because Zeus at the beginning of the film looked like the freaking Hulk.
No. He was like 7 feet tall, and by the end of the film, he was 7 feet tall.
Well, yeah. He looked different there at the beginning.
Well, because we didn't get a real good shot of him at the beginning. All we got were these camera movements,
flashes.
Plus, it was flashes.
Like a year or 2 years before, and he physically changed throughout that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see, so the thing is it's the mutation of the virus, or whatever you want to call it, where whoever he bites becomes an alpha. Like,
yeah, you can tell that this definitely wasn't a virus. There was something about it that made it different because blood didn't turn you.
Right.
And airborne, there was no airborne disease.
Right.
Specifically when they bit you.
Yeah.
And then also it was depending on which one bit you, what you turned.
Yeah, because it was completely
different.
The alpha zombies were sentient. They had intelligence, consciousness. They even communicated in their own way.
Yeah, it was a caste system. You had your alphas up here, who was, you know, the king and queen, and then you know, their protectors and their levels. And then you had the pawns.
Which I think, thinking about it now, I think one of the people he turned at the beginning, I think that was her protector.
Possibly.
I think that's why he was always around her.
Yeah.
Because it made more sense. Because they kind of did just go away, but they might have not have gone away. I probably just didn't realize it was that person.
It was also really weird to me that they had, where the fuck did the horse come from?
Well, where did the tiger come from?
He was part of the casino show.
Las Vegas has
he was actually part of Las Vegas, the tiger was.
Yeah,
yeah, but Las Vegas has fucking horse police.
No, they don't, because I've been there. Nope, I've been there.
Look, I am sure that somewhere in Las Vegas, there's a horse.
Las Vegas.
But I never saw them. They have a lot of horse.
Police.
literally on the street, and they'll hand you a flyer for their services, which is weird, but...
So they dissolved Mounted Police last year.
I never saw one. I saw a lot of drunk people walking in the middle of the road. And
probably because you weren't trying to notice that.
Probably not.
I remember horse police. That's all I remember.
Super
about
funny, though, because
place.
I feel like, on a level, what they took out of Vegas is, and I'm sorry if this offends anybody, but there are a lot of immigrant people there who are literal whores on the street and hand you flyers for the, which is weird. It's weird. Like, here's my flyer. Call me later. What? No, ma'am.
It's like a business card.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, though. Like, they're every 10 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, what
they're not white. Just going to put that out there. None of them. There's no
the
cute blonde girls out there handing you a flyer.
The ones in these four. You have the line dancers. They were very nude.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
Bunch of zombie boobs going
everywhere. It was really weird to me, though, because I was just like, that's not an accurate portrayal.
I love that whenever I was reading the rating as the movie played, it couldn't decide between the two. It put it as brief nudity / full graphic nudity.
Yeah. We didn't see any keen, though, so that was nice.
No, didn't see any.
Although we did see, dude, like, what was the point of zooming in on bikini underwear crotch self? Like, I don't need to see that.
I don't know. There was like the first 10 minutes of the movie were just jokes.
Very not jokey. I will say my least favorite character in the movie was the douche from, what's his name, Tanaka. I didn't like him at all. And I've seen that actor before, but I really didn't like his character. One of my favorite characters was Dieter.
I loved him.
I thought he was
the only character that had a full character arc.
Full range, too. Like, he could be serious. Like, the moments where he was kind of serious, his scream caught me every time. I almost peed myself every time he screamed.
So,
it was pretty funny.
Fun fact about the, and I don't know if you know this yet, but fun fact about the actor that
Dieter
played Dieter.
Okay.
Matthias.
Nothing about him.
Matthias. Hofer.
Is he Swedish?
Hofer. No, he's German.
Oh.
So when he was asked to play in the movie, let's see if I can find it again real quick. I'm sorry. So he was actually born in East Germany.
Okay.
East Berlin, if I remember correctly.
He was on the side.
He said that the element of the story touched on her. This is talking about the wall. Before that, Snyder said, once you erect a giant wall around a city, you really find yourself referencing all kinds of laws that have been created for all different reasons. And I think your awareness of these things really is important. So he didn't, when he initially put the wall in the script, he was not thinking about
Trump's
wall.
Right.
But when he did, he kind of correlated the two. For German actor Matthias, he said that element of the story touched a nerve. And he says, I was born behind a wall in the east of Germany. And the wall came down. I always thought as I traveled through the world, I don't want a wall back in my life. I don't want any borders back.
The east side was the free side.
No. East Germany was...
East Germany was bad.
It was Russian controlled. It was communist, and it was
that's
part
how
of communist
block.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to scroll a little bit, but there are a couple fun facts in the city. One of them was when you go into where the safe is, on a shelf you see movie reels. And those literally are the Zack Snyder cut of
Justice League.
Because this was supposed to come out first.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think it was actually released. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was released
so
theaters afterwards.
As the team enter the city, there's a Wayne-branded truck that can be seen in the background. As a nod to Bruce Wayne, Batman, his DC Universe. Also, I got to find out real quick.
You want to know a little fun fact as well?
Go ahead.
I believe it's on a De La Riviera shirt. She played Maria Cruz, which I believe was the short-haired helicopter pilot, right?
No.
Okay.
Maria Cruz was the...
the friend?
Yeah, she was Batista's friend.
Okay,
she was
the one that he was supposed to love.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is the...
Kid Notaro.
Okay.
Is Marianne Peters.
That
actor was brought into the movie development when the movie was starting to get shot because the original person was a boy.
Yep.
And backed out. That actor fully backed out.
Hold on.
She came in so late.
Are you talking about Tig Notaro?
Yes.
He didn't back out.
He's not in the movie.
Right. So Chris D'Elia filmed his role along with the cast, like in the movie with the cast, in the summer of 2020. Stories broke about him pursuing underage girls for sex and sexually harassing women. So they cut him out.
Good.
And Zack Snyder hired her to replace him, and she was filmed alone and inserted into the film for all of the scenes against the green screen.
Yeah, the only one that you can the only one that you can obviously see it against is when they first come in.
Yeah.
The lighting around her is completely different.
Yeah.
So she looks like she's pasted.
Because I never knew her name and I've seen her before.
So
she's funny as shit.
Yeah, she's actually a stand up comedian.
She is.
And she
I have seen her before.
Yeah, yeah.
I know her from Star Trek Discovery because she was an engineer on Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, I don't think
and
that's
she
right.
She was like the one of the best
but
characters on the entire show.
She is so sarcastic. She's she was my spirit animal.
Yeah,
she's
sarcastic.
Yeah,
every role that she played.
I did not like her too much. Just
I loved
there was
her.
A weird psycho feel to it, where they called her crazy, so I was expecting her character to be crazy. But then she was the most rational. But then she was also
between
at one point. And then, there was no, it felt like the character just wasn't there.
So she wasn't. And so I think that actually kind of hurt them when they had to take him out of the film because she wasn't bonding and interacting with the cast.
There's a point.
She was filming against a green screen and there was no actual interaction.
There's a point in the script. And I don't know if they missed it or they did it on purpose. There's a point in the script where I think Maria Cruz, either Maria Cruz or Scott Ward, references Marianne Peters as a male.
Really?
Yes. I noticed that right off the bat because I've seen...
I think you're thinking of whenever he says, I know a guy.
No. It's actually, I think it's when they're behind the fence, and when Marianne's just like, yes, absolutely, I don't care. And they say something about he's the best or something like that. They actually reference Marianne as a man, and I was confused. I was like, how? Because I know
well,
that
they obviously didn't edit that out.
Right.
I thought it said she.
So, another fun fact.
Yeah.
So, Dave Bautista's stunt double,
mm-hmm.
his name is Rob de Groot. Obviously, Bautista worked in the film Guardians of the Galaxy, where a character's name with him
is
Groot.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of funny.
The person that plays Zeus is a stunt coordinator that Snyder has worked with a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And this has been, his first, full role in a movie. Which is obviously a very stunty role.
Yeah.
But, he was just, a coordinator, and he was I would love for you to play this person.
makes it kind of sad.
It was a very good. So they had some really good stunts within the movie, but they also had some really badass. And I noticed this like in the background and stuff like that. Some badass movements of the Shamblers. Especially in the casino scene where you see them jumping over the tables and, for lack of better terms, I guess, parkour or whatever.
Well, even with the girl that that he, like, locked out, she had, there were some in there that were like, what? That's not shambling. That's fucking fighting.
Yeah.
Or the one, there was one in particular that was like a ninja. Like, he was, like, blocking and ducking, and I'm like, why?
The one that Dave Bautista the last
what
one.
My favorite one was when they're looking at the Shamblers that are running through the casino.
Yeah.
When they come out, there's just that one guy that's not very muscular and not very
fast.
VFX'd.
Yeah.
So like, he looks pretty human. And he jumps up on the table, and he literally just looks like a shirtless pretty boy. He looks like a model posing.
Yeah.
And he jumps off, and it's like...
There was a couple of them.
That was
like
the worst of all of them.
Yeah, so if you watched those scenes, though, there were a couple of them where... okay, so, like, outside when the queen comes out, and they're all, like, running around her and making this formation or whatever. There were a couple of them. I'm like, that looks like a Broadway stage happening.
Yeah.
Well, there was a couple points where you could tell when they're running away from the camera that they did not have makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just full, like, extras that were running away because they had, like...
Too many, they didn't have enough people.
Right, but, well, no, not that. It's just they just didn't put makeup on them. There was
I'm wondering how much... the makeup mattered, you know?
Well,
like, because they're not
dead. Well, some of them could have been just turned, too. And if you look at Batista, when he's turned, it's not like, and the other guy, like, it's not like they instantly turn into that zombie leg.
Like, great.
Like,
but, excuse me.
They start out looking normal.
The only ones that have that harsh gray are the Alphas.
Yeah, but the thing is they've been in there for a while. And you can tell, so they had some that had makeup, and there's some that didn't.
Yeah.
There was one, there was a couple that I noticed. One was a woman that was running in, like, yoga pants with a sports bra on. Another was a guy that was running in shorts with no shirt on. And their skin looked like normal skin next to some of these other ones that were kind of ashy and gray and stuff like that. And I'm like, you kind of skipped on the makeup right there.
I'm wondering if it was on purpose, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe they were just turned.
It may have been.
Because maybe they were people that Coyote took in and lost, and they hadn't had time to really turn.
Is it possible?
And you also have, like, the people where, like, you know, like, I noticed that the more gray, usually the harder they were to fight.
Yeah.
So there was obviously some sort of progression. Because, like, the one that Batista fought that had all those, like, was dodging all the bullets.
Yeah.
He looked dead.
Yeah.
I will say, fun fact, I actually have an uncle who was a stunt coordinator for Hollywood. Really sad that he wasn't, you know, that he went down a typical path of Hollywood, has struggled with some drug problems, had to get out of the industry. But would have been really cool to see him progress into these kind of, because he did mostly like TV shows like Baywatch and stuff. But I watch these movies, I always think, like, he would have been super cool with this.
Yeah. So before we get to our final acts here in about 10 minutes or so, I want to talk about white guy assholes fight with the tiger.
Guy assholes?
White guy asshole.
Oh, okay. I was like, guy asshole?
I was
is that a name in the movie?
All right. I couldn't remember what you had called it.
Douchebag.
Let's address... tiger.
Okay.
Go ahead. I was actually going to ask
you that. That's the tiger.
The first thing was the tiger at the beginning, when it first walks in, you hear her say, that's Valentine. And then the person goes, Valentine. I'm like, well, he's going to fucking die to the tiger.
That'd be obvious.
And then, first of all, it happens.
Who did you
lose? The guy, the darker-skinned asshole.
The guard.
Yeah.
The guard, the quarantine guard. The
yeah.
one that...
Oh, that's right. The one that was sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Like, first, that was very obvious foreshadowing. There was some obvious foreshadowing in this movie.
We all knew that when she volunteered him, there was an old... We didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but there was a reason for it.
I mean the white guy.
Right.
We knew he was going to
volunteer him.
No.
The white guy that... The asshole...
And then you have the...
No, I mean the first one.
Yeah.
Not with Valentine, but
well,
the first one that was sacrificed.
Yeah.
I knew she was going to do something to him because he was a dick.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was actually raping people. Gross. But it also lends to the narrative of today.
And I will say that it's kind of funny that she did offer him up as a sacrifice. And it's like, holy... Like, you give this people, these alphas, a sacrifice... And they let you just roam wherever the fuck you want.
Kinda. They still watch you.
They watch you. And they watch what you're going to do and what you're wanting to do.
Yeah.
As long as you leave them alone and don't fuck with, like, the shamblers or anything like that.
Yeah, they didn't leave them alone.
Yeah.
I mean...
If they would have not taken her head, they would have been fine.
Oh, yeah.
White guy definitely ruined the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
There was some moments there was some moments where it was like, this character can be blamed for this character's death. But he was kind of the whole reason it went bad.
Yeah.
The tiger stayed outside, first of all. Didn't attack the inside.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting people to come out. Was just like, I'm going to lay on this car. And then the white guy comes out, and he dies the most obvious death, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But then also was shit with a gun. I will say, like, whenever he got bashed against the wall, and then you saw all, like, the wall debris in his face and, like, all that blood in the etched into his face instead of it just being his head gashed.
Yeah.
Was pretty good. But besides that, such a shit concept for such a cool thing of, like, a white Bengal tiger. And it's just, like, the one thing it does is stays outside and then gets snooped. Because it didn't even die to anything. It ate him and then probably got nuked an hour later.
Well, yeah, but obviously there was no like backstory or anything. We didn't give a shit about the tiger. It was a cool insert,
yeah.
And it was inserted solely to give white guy asshole
a good death.
A good death.
Yeah.
And
like,
I will say it was a very gory death and was a karma death.
It was. I did like... I didn't always understand the horse. It was kind of cute, though. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
The tiger, though, I thought was really cool in the fact that they explained it, that it was Siegfried and Roy's, considering the fact that Siegfried and Roy's tigers attacked one of them.
Attacked Siegfried.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
And now you get a picture of what happened. But...
Yeah, that's the reason that people think that those animals can't actually be trained and be nice.
Well,
there's
here's
people
the...
that I just watched a video today of a tiger trainer that enjoyed his tigers,
yeah.
And then that tiger got sent off, and so he went to that resort, and that tiger ran up to him and licked his face and was like, owner.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The
yeah.
problem with Siegfried and Roy's, and I don't think it was a bad thing, because they were very close to their tigers. They loved them unconditionally. They had those tigers for years. There was obviously something in the environment that triggered the attack.
Yeah.
Because they never blamed the tiger. They never blamed the tiger.
No.
Weren't there the people that liked to whip them, though?
No. They lived next to them. They used the sound, the crack.
Yeah.
It's kind of
like
using a clicker.
It's a weird...
But they had raised those tigers from cubs. Siegfried and Roy had those tigers for decades.
Yeah.
And... They were loved. They were taken care of. I don't know how they were housed. For all we know, it could have been Tiger King housing. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't know.
Tiger King
housing is good. The reality is that tigers are not meant to be domesticated. They're not. Anything could set them off. You could smell a certain way, and it could set them off. They're not meant to love and cuddle. They're not meant to love and cuddle you, and that's what they portrayed them as.
Right.
There was never a reality to it.
Yeah,
they
I mean,
use them as
showboats. But you do have...
Neither were wolves and other dogs.
Right. Well, that's great.
That's
thousands of years of breeding.
Yeah.
The thing
but
is...
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
I mean...
They use white
with,
tigers. It's
yeah.
a whole different breed also. It was not
And it's the same thing with, like, tigers and domesticated cats, you know, but those cats still have those instincts.
You have to have a healthy fear of the fact that they are still wild animals. Can you love them and care for them? Yes.
But the thing is, like what you were saying, I don't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry.
I think it's silly not to have a healthy idea of the fact that they weigh 500 pounds, and if something goes wrong, you could seriously be hurt. You have to have a healthy fear.
Right. The thing is, with any type of animal, whether it's domesticated or quote-unquote wild,
yeah.
If you are around them since birth and you show them love and you show them affection and you show them kindness,
you literally
care,
domesticate them
to a point. And you feed them, and then you become part of their pride or part of their group or whatever. Then, like what you were saying, with that tiger, that the guy that was training the tiger got sent off to the enclosure or the not
it's
the enclosure.
Not the pool, by the way.
Sorry,
yeah.
The
probably sanctuary.
Sanctuary, yeah. And then he came up, and the tiger was excited to see him. It's because that
he probably raised him with care rather than fear.
Yeah. But the tiger sees him as part of his pride, as part of his clouder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to say it. And, you know, it was like, hey, this is my brother, this is my father, this is, you know, somebody that I love that loves me.
Yes.
Which is why he showed them the affection.
And I think Siegfried and Roy, honestly, I do believe, because they've been around for so long, that they raised them in fear rather than kindness.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you still have
at
to be
at some point,
aware.
They'll be like, fuck you, I'm not doing that. Don't touch me again. Because you're right. I do believe they came up in the circus era where we did use fear and abuse as obedience.
Right.
And at some point, even a wild animal that has been raised since birth is going to snap.
Well, even domesticated animals.
Our dog has done it. Yeah. She is a normal dog.
Yeah. She's not normal, but she's a domesticated animal.
But she has gone from being perfectly fine to trying to attack on somebody that never meant her harm.
Yeah.
For no reason.
The thing is what we have to realize, and this will be the last thing before we get into our final act.
Yeah.
One thing that we have to realize, especially with animals, is that they don't really have that higher level of brain function that humans do.
It's an animal. It literally does.
It does, but when we look at typical pets,
yes.
They can be trained, but they mostly run off of instinct and training. They don't have the cognitive abilities. And even some primates, they have a level of cognitive ability that humans do, but they don't have the upper level of cognitive ability that we do.
Even if they do, we are humans, and I can only be pushed so far before I lose my shit.
Right. And,
doesn't
and,
mean I won't pull a gun on you and shoot you in the face. Literally, I mean,
right. And
everybody has a breaking point.
Right. And, you know, it would be the same with humans in captivity.
Yes. Feral humans.
Yeah. And we see it all the time in prisons.
Yes.
But the one thing that people have to understand is that animals, their first instinct, generally as a rule, is to protect themselves or to protect their pride or to protect their alpha.
You have to earn my strongest belief. I actually follow this girl on TikTok. She has an elephant. That's her whole shtick that she's been with since she was born. She was born and raised with this animal.
Right.
And they have a bond that is amazing. Amazing. If you raise with kindness and with respect, because we always earn respect. We don't just get it.
Right.
We don't get it through fear. We don't get it through obedience. You earn respect. And when we don't earn it, we always run the risk of backlash.
Yeah. And it's the same, honestly, it's the same with children, you know.
Absolutely.
Children, they are to respect their parents, yes, but their parents have to be able, the parents have to be deserving of that respect.
Absolutely. I was raised in a different time where, and I still follow it.
Tina, not her.
No, we respect our elders. I was raised in a different culture and a different time. So with my elders, even though I may not always agree with them, I always respect them and I always show them respect. Do I agree that they always deserve respect? No. It was how I was raised. And while I still portray it, I've raised my kids differently, which is weird because I still fall back where they're stronger than me.
Yeah.
They might not always show the respect. They might be like, no, I don't.
Respect is earned, not given.
They might be like, no, I don't agree with you and I'm not going to do that. Whereas even though I've shown them that and told them that, I fall back.
Right. All right. It's that time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
All right. Miss Angel, I'm going to let you do your final act tonight first. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
Okay, so I'm going to start with, would you watch it again? I would absolutely watch it again because I feel like I missed some incredibly important things. Reading back on my own fun facts, I feel like I missed some stuff in there where I might have understood differently. I literally did not realize this movie was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Which has to give some credit to the movie because typically I have a short attention span and I would have stopped halfway through and been like, I need a cigarette. I need to do something else. The only time I stopped was when I thought the cats were getting into something in the kitchen and it wasn't because I was bored. So got to give some credit there. I never realized the movie was as long as it was. So I would definitely watch it again because I feel like I would see some things differently. Would I recommend it? I actually would. I think that it got some bad reviews and some bad – I think if you make it past the first part of the movie,
yeah,
it will actually pull you in. Like, you have to give it a chance.
I don't know. Whenever it came to, like, the story, I was pulled in for most of it. Like,
yeah, I think if you get past that first army part where we're talking about Area 51 and the joking and then Zeus comes out, like, you got to get past that first part.
I know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of like it was needed or not needed. It could happen or not happen.
Absolutely.
But I think it was – I don't think it didn't pull me in.
No, I will agree with you there. It didn't – grab my attention. It didn't grab me and pull me in, but at the same time, I didn't realize how long it was, which is, for me, particularly, because Dan knows that if I'm bored, he knows when a movie sucks. Because the first thing I do is what?
Pick up your phone.
I will pull out my phone and play a game, where I can still pay attention to the movie, but my mind is occupied. And I didn't do that. What I liked about the movie, obviously, was because I thought he was funny. I actually liked this role for him.
Yeah.
It was something – I've been watching him for so long with Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, that's been him for so long. It was really nice to see him without makeup. It was really nice to see him in his element. You can definitely see his age, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, he looks like Dad.
Yeah.
A little nerdy. I loved it. I loved it. I loved his comedy parts in it. He was very emotional in this movie. That was kind of cool to see. And I actually liked the other characters. There were certain characters that I was actually, like, pissed that they died because, damn it, they were supposed to live.
Well, Maria got her head turned around.
So pissed off because they had just made this whole connection. He's already killed his wife once. Like, this dude has gone through trauma.
That one was a...
It really kind of made me mad.
And then all of a sudden, the spine...
The spine popped through your fucking collarbone. Like, no, fuck you.
And then he fucking suplexed that guy into the cement barrier above him.
Yeah,
that was
like...
so fucking funny.
And then I did love that because he is a strong character. He's strong as a person. I loved watching him. It was kind of his element. I love Dieter. I thought he was weird and funny. And there were that whole little group, actually, where they first came together, I was like, okay. I actually kind of really liked each character on its own merit. What I didn't like about the movie, we all know what I didn't like about the movie. I really didn't like the unanswered questions. I thought that I do not think this movie was unneeded. I don't think this movie was an unnecessary story, because no movie really is. The story is being told. It's somebody's story. They thought it was worth telling. So I don't think it was unnecessary. But I do think that there were so many weird unanswered questions that bothered me. The robot, why? Where the fuck did they come from? Why are they there? There was a lot of backstory in 2.5 hours that was not answered, and I didn't like that. Also, the quarantine zone was super fucking close to the zombies.
I mean, kind of had to be.
No. Like, you could move it out a few miles. You need to quarantine. I'm like, why are we right against the wall where they, like, they're right there.
Get the people out.
Bam.
Then they go into the quarantine zone before they leave.
True. My biggest thing was in the ending. I was really pissed off at the ending. I'm really mad that Dad didn't make it. Not going to lie. I loved him. So that's it for me. Whatever.
Okay.
But I will say 2.5 hours, I didn't realize it was 2.5 hours. And I'm impressed with that. I'm done.
Okay. Austin, your final act.
I think that, did I go into this not wanting to watch it? Yes. Did I go into it? Did I watch it and fully enjoy it? No. But that is because I really don't like slashers. I really don't like grindhouse stuff. I really don't like horror movies.
Yeah, it's just not a thing.
Yeah.
But if I was to put this on the grindhouse and horror standard that you have,
he sneezed to get out.
If you put this on the grindhouse standard that a normal chop 'em up, slash 'em up movie has, then I think that it blew most of those movies out of the water.
Okay.
Because you have like Freddy Krueger and stuff. It's like, why is there a nightmare monster there?
Nightmare monster.
No one knows. He's just killing people. Why is Jason super powered? He's just a guy. No one knows.
He's just
there. There's a lot of unanswered questions in slasher and grindhouse films.
I'm not going to actually explain both of those.
That's
a whole other show.
But also, they have like 5 movies to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't explain them in the first movie.
Right.
But if you hold that to the same standard as this movie, it did all that to perfection with new ideas. So I don't think it was a bad movie. I just don't think it definitely was a movie for me. Could I play a video game like this? Probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Especially if you gave it more choice.
That'd be a cool concept.
As a first-person shooter?
Yeah, that'd
yeah,
be pretty cool.
Definitely.
Well, like, whenever it comes to the unanswered questions, especially because half of them are, like, little Easter eggs, little things that you can nitpick on purpose. And then also they're coming out with like 2 or 3 expansions to this already. I think it's fine. And then also it just creates an air of mystery, especially because the next one that's coming out, if it does get to come out, if it gets the funding, it's a precursor.
Yeah,
which
it's a
means
prequel.
That, which means
Star
like,
Gator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, the other one. The Lost Vegas. That's coming out first, I believe. It's called Lost Vegas.
Before Army of Thieves?
It's called Army of the Dead, Lost Vegas.
Huh.
And it's a prequel.
Yeah.
So it will probably answer some of those questions. And if it doesn't, you still have those questions to unpack yourself. Because half of them are, it's not questions of what happened to this person, it's I have 3 or 4 answers that could happen.
Right.
And I think that's a lot better than just new strings. I think they're just strings with little tied knots at the end instead of connected to each other.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was bad. There's definitely some parts that were. This definitely didn't show being the biggest budgeted movie on Netflix, besides it being a wide variety of locations.
Yeah.
But whenever it comes to like VFX and all that, no. But were it, was it good? Yes. Like, was the special effects good? Was the practical effects good? Yes. Was like editing in the woman that had to come in late, didn't do a great job at it. And then also like there were some parts that were like probably the most sound parts of the movies. There were no questions about them, but they were bad. Didn't really like the tiger. Didn't really like the character tropes. Didn't really like the genericness of it.
Yeah.
I think that with this type of movie and with this type of freedom, you could do a lot more that Hollywood normally can't. And it was just a standard Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I said at the beginning of tonight's show that the movie was pointless. And I kind of stand by that with the main plot of the movie. It could have been done better. In typical Zack Snyder fashion, there are more questions throughout the movie than we have answers to. And he does that in some of his bigger movies so that he can set up for other movies to hopefully explain them.
Might happen.
Like, you know, the question of the robot, quote-unquote, zombie.
Honestly, I hope they never answer it. Kind of a fun one, isn't it?
It's one of those things that just stays kind of in the back of your head and just scratches at your brain. It's a decent movie. I'm not gonna say it's a great movie. It's a good fun type movie to watch on a night that you just want to watch something with killing. It's on one hand, it's the I don't want to think about it movie. On the other hand, it's the I want to dive so far into this movie that I need to know everything. It's definitely a movie that's rewatchable because inevitably, you're going to miss something on the first go-around. And you need to kind of pay attention on the second go-around because you already know the plot of the movie and you already know where the movie's going to be headed. So you're going to find out these little details. Like I totally missed the UFOs at the beginning. So now I want to see the UFOs at the beginning.
Yeah. They're pretty blatantly there. They're just hard to miss.
Yeah.
Or they're easy to miss.
Yeah.
But they're very, very there.
Is this a movie that I want to watch after talking about it? No. It's not Aladdin, live action, and it's not Us, the movie.
Yeah.
There are very few movies that we have actually rewatched after discussing them on this show. And this is not one of them. Would I rewatch it again? Yeah, obviously. Would I recommend it? It's not a movie for everyone. If you like these types of movies, like the zombie quote-unquote genre, and I'm a big horror movie fan. We all know this. And I love zombie movies. I love real zombie movies, not fucking that one where, you know, love changed them back to human.
That was weird.
Warm-blooded.
Yeah, that was weird.
Fucking gay.
But I didn't feel that way. I actually thought it was a different take on it, which was interesting. I didn't like the movie in particular, though.
It was a complete waste of time and money. But for me, I love the George Romero movies. Love them to death. Even the bad ones, I love them. And I love 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, and World War Z. I love those types of movies because it gives you that anxiety. And this movie kind of gives you a little bit of anxiety and stress, especially when the girls fighting the hallway of zombies, and she comes crashing through the window.
Yes, yes.
And you're like, okay, she made it. Oh, no, she got eaten.
She died.
Yeah, she would have made it to the end. I think that would have been happy with the entire movie.
Yeah.
I love the special effects. I love the practical effects. Overall, the movie was very well done. There could have been some things done differently. Like you said, there's a bunch of boxes that needed to be checked.
I just think there were a lot of story issues.
Yeah. And hopefully these will get answered later. But we'll see. Overall, it's not a bad movie. If you like these types of movies, watch it. If you don't bother with it. Yeah, and that's my take on the movie. All right, we do have a few minutes left.
I do want to give a special thank you to Lindsay and Neil for interacting on our live feed tonight. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. All right, Tuesday, Falling for Grace.
It's going to be an incredibly interesting show, and I know that Austin listens in because he's our producer, and so he runs our live feed. We are actually going to be talking about murders inspired by Dungeons & Dragons. I'm not going to go into greater detail about it. You can just look at the link and follow it and come to us. But
sounds like double worship stuff.
Listen in. So I'm incredibly interested. I've got some work to do. Anne's got some work to do. Hope she, you know, gets in there and dives in. But, yeah, so that's our show this coming week.
Awesome.
This sounds like the pro thing on video games, Cosmo Island.
No, it's just murders that are related to the game in particular. Whether we agree with it or not, they're still related to it.
Right. We will be having a Cinephiles on Wednesday. No topic, just talk. And then Friday, Guy in Glasses is coming back with Note by Note. They are going to do the show that they're going to do the artist that they were supposed to do last week.
Yes. This is the final week before Note by Note goes on a short hiatus while we recommission their show again and look for another co-host. So if you know anybody and you love music, Note by Note is currently looking for a new co-host.
Yes. And more to follow on his page and on Wiki Curiosity Media's page.
Absolutely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down to the final 2 minutes of the show. I do want to say, please, first off, happy Memorial Day to everybody. I say happy Memorial Day because we do celebrate the ones that have come before us.
Absolutely.
Please take a minute tomorrow to remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice in defense of this country.
Yeah, pause in your barbecues and pool parties.
Yeah. But do please celebrate their life. Celebrate what they have given up for you, because I want you to do the same for me if I was passed on. All right. Please support your veterans, fighters, police, and the EMS are out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are really, really, really good ones out there. As always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Note by Note. No, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast. Every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles. And every Friday for Note by Note. I am having troubles right now. I'm going too fast.
Right.
Thank you all. Love you guys. Please enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you back here Tuesday night for Falling from Grace and Wednesday night for the Cinephiles. We love you guys.
Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
All right. Love you guys. Have a good night.